Good afternoon. It's Thursday, September the 22nd. My name is Cleo Flynn and you're welcome to English Time. And I'm on air for the very first time with David Urbano in the control room. So hi, David. Welcome to the program. We're on air in English here on Radio Sur every Thursday from 1 to 1:30. And you can listen back to the program on your online platforms or through the links that I'll post on the Adeche Tanhol Facebook page later today. Today we're going to be talking about the Crossfire BBC drama that started airing this week, filmed in Tenerife. And we're also going to hear from a singer who will be taking part in Black Sounds this weekend in Costa Deje. But first, let's have a roundup of some national and local news. The Jardines de Nevaria Hotel in Costa Deje, which is part of the Adrian chain, has been listed among the 100 most popular hotels in the world with a Red Star Quality Award 2021 from German tour operator Der Touristik. Only 25 hotels in Europe made the list, say the hotel, who paid tributes to the professionalism of their staff and the exceptional quality of the service and the terrific installations. Registration is currently open for new students to take part in Insular Theatre classes in Adeje. There are a number of groups and times of classes in Spanish for children from 7 to 18 and plus. More information and registration links on the Adeje Town Hall Facebook page. At the weekend, the tourism boroughs of Adeje, Benidorm, Calva, Lloret del Mar, Salud, Arona, San Bartolomé de Tirajana and Torremolinos held a working day to continue their campaign to push for improved national funding given their visitor popular needs. In general, the argument is that while funding from the state is allocated to boroughs for services such as water treatment, sewage and rubbish collection based on registered residential populations, tourism boroughs are often catering for huge percentage increases in the numbers of people staying there due to tourism, and these visitors need proper local services too. During his intervention, the AMT president and the Adeje mayor José Miguel Rodríguez Fraga referred to an agreement signed with the tourism secretary of state to explore the different financial possibilities for tourism towns, one of the principal goals of the association. A report regarding the conclusions is due in 2023. Miguel Concepción Cáceres will leave his position as president of the football club CD Tenerife at the next shareholders meeting of the club. He leaves as the longest serving president in the club's history, with his likely successor already being named as Paulino Rivero, former regional government president. Black Sound is back in Costa Deje next weekend with a great lineup of artists including TJ Cole, Annette Bowen, Genesis the Jesus, BSA Band and Zaza, who we'll hear from in a few minutes. The Swim for Life is on this weekend in Tenerife Top Training from 11:30 to 2:30 on Sunday, with money raised going to the Walk for Life Foundation. The link to donate is on the Adeje web pages, but you will need to actually follow up with an email in Spanish if you want to register to take part. And finally, there is an increased possibility that the islands will experience some poor weather over the weekend as a result of a tropical cyclone between the Canary Islands and Cape Verde. According to the National Hurricane Center in Miami, we may see weather from the cyclone hitting the eastern islands in the coming days, up to and including rain and perhaps electrical storms, most likely on Sunday. Right, let's have a piece of music. One of my favorite. This is Celeste, Stop This Flame.
But I keep on going. Tell me to stop, but I keep on going. Tell me to stop, but I keep on going. Keep on, keep on, keep on.
You'll never stop.
Somebody close.
You'll never stop this day. I will never let you go. or did I move too far? It's all too much. I think I must be mad to give you everything I had, everything I had, everything, everything. But
right, that is Celeste. Stop this flame. But let's go to another singer, because this weekend in Costa Reca, there's going to be some excellent black sounds, because Costa Reca Black Sounds is back. And before she left the UK this morning, one of those who will be performing over the weekend, Zaza, found time to have a quick word with me.
Zaza, I'm delighted to be joined by you. You're flying out to perform here for us in Costa Reca this weekend. So tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, your singing background.
Sure. So I've been singing, I guess, as long as I can remember, singing at church, singing as part of choirs, just singing to give God glory, really.
So you're from the United Kingdom, is that right? And that's yes. Where you grew up singing gospel music, really, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Gospel seems to be so important in the evolution of black sounds, not just in the past, but almost today it's more important. I mean, I'm looking at it from a white Irish point of view, but it does seem to be essential.
Yes, I feel like a lot of maybe people of Caribbean, African descent have kind of come up through the church, or their families involved in some sort of church ministry. And that's where a lot of us kind of learnt about music. I know that's the case for me. A lot of my peers as well who are in the music industry, a lot of us came up kind of in the same church circles, meeting at conventions, playing as part of praise and worship, and just, yeah, kind of getting a feel for gospel music in particular. And there's so many influences that gospel has in other genres of music, rock, you know. Everything, really.
Growing up in kind of white Catholic 1960s Ireland, we were jealous of gospel because it had that almost lateral audience that, as you say, it was able to expand into rock and to soul, and people were encouraged to be joyful as they sang, yeah, and to be expressive as they sang, which was, yeah, something, you know, a lot of us in, as I say, in Roman Catholic Ireland, seem to be the antithesis of church music. So I think that you're lucky in that sense that you have that background. And even today, has it grown again in importance, or is there a revival in the importance of gospel music? Would that be fair?
I would say so. I'd say that it's kind of become a little bit more mainstream, if you like. A lot of kind of artists are looking for a gospel choir, a feature, something to add that extra, you know, that's missing.
That extra, so I guess, yes. In a sense.
Yes, yeah.
Well, it's wonderful. Listen, is this going to be the first time you're singing out here in Adeje for us?
It is. It's actually, the first time. So I'm a regular in the Gran Canaria and the Balearic Island, but just for holiday. So this will be amazing to actually be able to sing there.
Oh, brilliant. And I mean, I'm just looking, the people who are singing with you over the weekend, because it's a weekend event, we have TJ Cole, who also has gospel in his background, Annette, yes, Bowen, lovely, yeah, gospel choir, and Genesis de Jesus, who's a Madrid singer, but also reading through his biography, very much gospel is there. But I mean, I presume, or I know, you don't have to be religious to enjoy the music at all.
You don't, no. So I'm part of a gospel choir that is not necessarily religious. We're not kind of a Christian choir, but the ethos is that there must be an appreciation for gospel music, for its roots, for the fact that it is, you know, predominantly a way of worshiping God. It's to do with the Christian religion. So I think that there has to be some appreciation for that. But, you know, people from all different backgrounds and walks of life enjoy hearing and singing gospel music.
Okay, so it is something that can attract everybody. So saying that to the audience who are going to come along this evening, or not this evening, it's tomorrow, and I've got it wrong again. It's Saturday and Sunday, isn't it? at 9 o'clock in the Salesian Plaza. It really is open to everyone. So, I mean, in a sense, the word gospel, while it's very much part of the root of the music, has been superseded by the music itself.
Yes, yeah, because obviously gospel is primarily the message of Jesus Christ and the good news. But there is also the genre gospel music. It's a style, it's a feeling, it's rooted in, you know, I'd say predominantly the black experience. You know, you have American gospel, you have British UK gospel. It's different countries as well. So,
and there's a Canarian gospel festival. I mean, that was one of the things I was going to end with, that gospel, while in the past, I think we might have thought of it as an American invention is the wrong word, but something that evolved in the United States of America. Now it really is an international form of singing, isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
And so people of all colours, creeds and ages can come along and listen to you over the weekend.
Precisely, yes. The more the merrier. You know, I love it when people kind of come up to us at the end of a performance and say, you know, I've never heard anything like that before. This is my tradition, like you said. I've grown up in a more conservative environment, and you've just opened up a different, you know, understanding, a different way of doing things. So yeah, I think that's beautiful. And that's the power of music. It really does transcend kind of all of our cultural barriers, our upbringings, our things that we're used to. It's quite literally the most universal language, one I think we all speak.
That opens doors up there in the mind that you mightn't even know you had shut.
Yes, yes.
All right. Well, look, that's wonderful. Thank you so much for talking to us. I know you're very busy. Have a wonderful, wonderful time. You're performing. What night are you performing? Are you performing both nights?
On the Saturday night, yes, okay. At 9 o'clock.
All right. Well, just to remind people, this is the it's the Black Sounds Costa Deje concert series. It's on Saturday and Sunday in the Plaza Salitien, and you'll be on Saturday night, but there'll be music on both nights, and it's free to the public, and please do come along and experience something different.
Amazing. Thanks so much for having me.
You're listening to English Time Radio Sur Adeje with Cleo O'Flynn.
Didn't I appreciate ordinary life? How could I not have realized how fragile it all was? All this time, you thought you were choosing your life.
Ollie!
Actually, you were just heading towards that moment. If only I'd known. It was always going to end like this.
That is just a teaser for Crossfire, which is a new BBC three-part drama. And I belong to a couple of WhatsApp group, and I was getting pings during the week going, is that based in Tenerife? Is that filmed in Tenerife? And it was filmed in Tenerife. And I have two of the actors from the show. Okay, they're not the headline actors, but they were acting. There were extras in it. And that's Kieran McCloy and Tracy Cutting. And hi, both of you. You've both been here before, so welcome back.
Good afternoon.
Well, yeah, nice to be back.
And I did call Tracy and I said, would you and your husband come on and talk about Crossfire? And you kind of said, which husband?
Yeah.
Your on-set husband.
Your on-set husband. Because you guys were paired in this show.
We were, yeah.
All right. I've watched the first episode and I'm hooked. I loved it. I love Keeley Hawes anyway, and the rest of the cast are kind of fantastic. But how did you get involved, Tracy, Kieran? I don't know, Tracy, tell me first how you got involved.
Basically, because it went back before the pandemic, I think it was, wasn't it? It was going to be filmed. They started casting before the pandemic for like extras and bits and pieces, and they were very certain about what type of people they wanted. And then, of course, then everything happened.
It happened,
and then they were supposed to still film I think it was in the January, so a year before we actually filmed, wasn't it? In the January, did you know the first time round?
No idea.
Right, so in the first time, I think they were supposed to come out in the January. It was supposed to be a different hotel as well.
Oh.
And they were basically shutting down the whole hotel, and it was going to be hardcore with obviously all the testing. You had to stay in the hotel, everything. And obviously with logistics and the way it all happened, it was just impossible.
Okay.
To do that.
You guys, I mean, just to kind of set the scene for people if they haven't seen it, and without giving away too much of the plot, within the first 5 minutes, it's a hotel setting in Tenerife. Three English families are the main protagonists, and shots ring out, and yep, there's obviously a terrorist attack, and you guys are part of the other guests. You are other guests.
Yeah, yeah. Just okay, a family checking in on holiday.
And there's a lovely shot of Tracy leaving the reception room. I won't say anything else.
Bridget Jones.
I haven't seen that. I'm going to.
Yeah. But you look very happy together, actually, I have to say.
Yeah, we did, didn't we?
Yeah.
Surprisingly.
It was fun doing it.
Right, and I mean, were either of your own kids involved?
Yeah, my kids were. Sorry, it's Kieran.
So both of your kids were involved as well.
Yeah, they were, yeah.
So when they finally decide to film it, which would have been, when did the filming actually take place, Kieran?
November, December.
Of last year.
I can't remember. I think
about
it was
a year ago.
I think it was more maybe the beginning of November last year.
Yeah, it had to be just under a year ago. Yeah.
So you'd already auditioned, Tracy, for the first shooting that didn't happen.
Yeah, we way back in the beginning, they sent us like scripts and bits and pieces.
Okay.
And they wanted you to do stuff that was like what we'd actually did in the filming, but at home, and it was a bit like, this is a bit weird.
All right.
But we did our best, obviously, and then...
And how did you get involved, Kieran? How did you hear about it?
My path is quite different. I suppose, like everyone, not to bring it down, my path into it, the pandemic changed everyone's life. My mum passed away at the beginning of the pandemic.
Oh, I'm sorry
about that.
Not
of COVID. But I went back home. I came back to Tenerife with kind of like a renewed vigour of life that, hey, listen, life's very short. We've got to do things that we want to do. So I'm kind of like a Peter Pan grown up adult boy child man type thing. Yeah.
Okay, right, we'll so put all that together.
As you know, I was in a band before lockdown.
I did know.
I'm now flourishing as a one-man band. Something I never want to do. And I played around with Amdram when I was younger and at college and things like that. So I came back to Tenerife after the pandemic and thought, do you know what? Yeah, some unfulfilled dreams. I'm going to get involved in that. So I got myself an agent, did a few little bits of auditions, showreels and things. And through the same company, I think, that we got involved in. Yep. I'd got involved in a few things. That was my second speaking part. I've had four acting parts in the last...
so lucky.
In the last 8 years.
He's Irish, you know.
He's so lucky. Well, he gets the speaking parts.
I am lucky, but I find out that old... Oscar Wilde or someone, Mark Twain or someone said, the harder I work, the luckier I get. I don't know where I'm going wrong then.
You never stop, Tracy.
More doors slammed in my face than I've opened. But yeah, so I did that. And the first one, I was in a... not to change the topic, I got into... it was one of the Banged Up Abroad or something.
Yeah, National Geographic.
And it was my first acting part from, I was told you have to start out being extra, stand in 12 hours a day in a corner, almost like herded in. So I got a speaking part in that. And then through the same company.
Yeah.
Which company now is it that you both?
Well, I'm with Temps. Is it the same with you?
Sur Films.
Yeah, Sur Films. Yeah.
Sur Films.
Okay. Just for people out there who are listening, they can Sur Films, how might they get involved? Yeah. So Sur Films, they can look it up online.
They're a little boutique. They actually were, and again, whenever I got involved with them, they were the guys behind The One as well, which was a fantastic.
Yes,
which was just pre-pandemic.
And they did a lot of filming here. I mean, a lot of them in Santa Cruz and El Medano and Lobrigos,
That was my route into it. The first thing I got with them, and then anything else came up. And it was, I suppose, my experience is doing auditions into the phone. So rather than turning up to the casting director and this sort of thing, here's a little sort of basic premise or ad lib this, stand in front of your phone at home, make a small video and send it in.
Well, it did change. I mean, COVID changed things in that regard too, because I mean, I know a lot of kids here, for instance, who are going to universities in other countries or to drama schools were able to do all of their auditions online as well. And it's kind of advanced the whole online technology in terms of branching into other areas. But you're in drama. You're a dancer and a drama teacher.
But it's
Tracy.
Not so good because obviously now there's a few auditions like going around and you have to have a video book. Well, it's not always easy to get a video book if you've done these certain parts and you can't get hold of the footage.
Right.
That's your only experience to say, this is what I've done.
This is what I've done.
You know, so casting actually in person was a lot better, because you could show them, you know, you could actually be there in person. Yeah. So
maybe
for me,
it'll be a combo. Listen, back to Crossfire. It's very dramatic. It's very fast moving.
Yeah, it is.
And I mean, I saw both of you in at least two scenes last night. I did pause and rewind a few times to check I knew people in it.
Yeah.
But I mean, for a scene where you might appear for 10 seconds when you're leaving the reception office.
10? 2, 3?
How many hours of filming, or how long did you have to be on set for all of that?
Well, see, it's different for me because I had children, so you can only be they can only be on set for 8 hours.
Okay.
So, but obviously other actors, it can be 12 to 15 hours to 16 hours.
So how long would it have taken to shoot the whole thing, do you know?
Well, we were on set for a full day. It was a full 8 to 10 hours. It was a full working day where you had to be, you're told to be there at a certain time.
Just those bits.
And almost you're told then when you're finished with. So even only a small little bit. The fascinating side of it was, I'm such a voyeur. I stood watching how they shot all the bits of it, the gunman coming in, and how
it don't all, ruin it now no, for no, anyone who hasn't
I
seen it.
I haven't even seen all myself. Right, yeah. I'm going to hold a big popcorn party at the weekend with all my family over watching my part.
Well, look, it's me.
But it was fascinating. Yeah, it was fascinating to see how the parts, even the bits that we weren't in, to watch how they were put together.
And were there Spanish crews as well as UK crews?
Yeah, well, mixed, weren't they? Australia, New Zealand, really? All mixed crew. Yeah.
So I mean, to kind of pop forward a bit, I know there's been a lot of films now coming to use Tenerife as a location. We had Clash of the Titans, we've had other things, but BBC coming over to do a series like this brings it to a different level. I mean, I've always, Death in Paradise is one of my favourite series. I love it. And I'm thinking, this could be a Death in Paradise kind of look. More than Hawaii 5-0, this has got a quirky mix of locals, of Spanish, British, Irish, German, name it. Do you think if this is a success, it opens doors for more filming and more TV crews coming over?
Well, I hope so. I mean, I know they filmed Doctor Who here a few years ago. And obviously I was working at the Magma at the time, and they came to the Magma and I had to show them around the Magma, and I was like, because obviously Doctor Who is one of my most favourite ever, and I was like, please, 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 please choose the Magma. And I was like that, but no, that wasn't to be. So I'm thinking with all the, obviously because it's cost effective them to film here now, and it's becoming more accessible and everything, so.
And it's a nice place to come.
Yeah, hopefully.
It's the tax breaks, a bit like Ireland for a number of years as well. I think the tax breaks a lot of them coming here. And I actually watched a Spanish movie the other night, which is quite a big Spanish movie with big Spanish actors in it, and it's filmed all around the world, but it was one of these ones that was stopped because of the pandemic and then taken up again, and they're supposed to be in Hawaii somewhere like that. I was watching, I thought, I recognise that, and they were in Tenno. So parts of it were finished post-pandemic
here,
using Tenerife as the location. They're in Terracitas and Tenno.
And so, there's the El Hierro series, which is very, very popular in Spanish television, all filmed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you were talking about having a video book, and we know that there is a Tenerife Film Commission, but would it be a good idea maybe for the Cabildo to put together a really good showreel of locations, the kind of stuff that's been done here, because it could be a real money spinner.
They already have
they have something like that.
The Tenerife Film Commission. Okay. I was at another audition recently that I went to.
Who is this guy? He used to be a singer.
Okay. I know, right?
Peter Pan. I'm an adult boy child.
Okay, you're going to start flying around the studio in a minute.
I think it's Tenerife.
It is the Tenerife Film Commission. Yeah.
They have all that on it. And they are doing great work in promoting Tenerife as a location to Germany, the US, the UK, and things like that.
Yeah.
There have been, maybe it's when you concentrate in something, you see it more, you think it's more, it's happening more and more. But there have been, since the pandemic, so many more things here and so many more in the pipeline, which
is the availability on site here of a multilingual potential cast, crew. I mean, I'm thinking of Andy McLeod, who we both know, who is an amazing underwater photographer as well.
Was it the Burberry or the I think it was the Burberry, or was it that underwater one with the black horse? I can't think what it was.
Yeah, he did, Bulgaria or something.
He's amazing.
And he's based here in the south of Tenerife as well. I mean, is that availability, apart from the fact that the location is amazing,
100%.
But the fact that there is this ready-made set of people who are willing to act, sing, dance, or shoot, shoot the film for you?
Again, I ask a lot of questions everywhere I go. If I don't understand something,
it's always a good thing to do.
Yeah, I ask questions. And so those few parts that I've had, and even I've had a few sort of walk, I was in a German thing and a Swedish thing, both just walk on. Obviously, no, I don't speak very good German or Swedish. So it was just walk on. But you're standing there and I always get talking to someone.
Yeah.
So they become the protagonists to arrive here. And then whichever sort of, they call them, we're supporting actor, we're not
Oh, is that your new title? Supporting actress. I beg your pardon.
That and crew. So you, and again, like the likes of the companies that are based here, but they also come with crew as well. I was in the Bullring for this thing
up in Santa Cruz
recently. And this guy, he was saying that he is just full time with the company going around locations. So he's in Tenerife for 3 months.
So he's a location scouter or spotter or something.
Part of the production team. So I think obviously they come here with the main bones of whatever it is that they have. And obviously if they need supporting cast, crew, right down to canteen facilities,
it's all local.
I mean, I was part of the Jack Ryan that they filmed recently. Wow. That blew my mind, because for a couple of scenes we did, there was just like 200 something supporting actors. And I was at the Magma. I can't say obviously, but what they did inside the Magma. And
is this a film that's coming
out? Jack Ryan is a series. Yeah.
It's a massive Hollywood.
It's a massive Hollywood thing.
And they've been filming
here. And it was the fourth one they filmed here. And what they did to the Magma was just, when I walked in, it absolutely made me speechless. And just the fact that they'd done that to the Magma with all the props and completely changed it was just like, and I'm like, they've obviously bought all this stuff over and it's all been made. But yeah, I mean.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
This is a real potential to explode in terms of not just location, but all that we can offer on the island.
Absolutely, I think so, yeah.
Well, the very first, when I decided, hey, this is something I want to get into, I contacted this company. And the very first part was in National Geographic Channel 5 Banged Up Abroad.
Yeah.
And it's real life stories retold through their eyes, but with actors. So it was filmed in the old tobacco factory in Santa Cruz, which was made to look like a council estate in Gloucestershire. Yeah. So it was an English girl in one of the old rooms, and I was this drug dealer hanging about in the stairwells. So I've seen it. Not typecasting. Well, I think it's the beard, but I've cut my hair since. I'm going for more softer roles. But yeah, the things, whether it's to look like a paradise island or things like that. Yeah, it's a fantastic location.
It's incredible, yeah.
Last word, we've 20 seconds. You've watched Crossfire, you haven't watched it yet, but it's a pretty high class production. Do you think there will be more?
I think so. I think it's, you know, and everybody that's spoken to me from the UK that have been watching, I go, oh my God, I'm gripped, you know, I'm hooked.
Okay.
Yeah, the reviews seem to. I haven't watched it.
And the crew and the cast, even the top stars, were happy with the production.
Seemed to be really smooth production. Everybody seemed to know what they were doing. It was good.
The supporting actors.
Well, the best bit for me was when we were hidden and we had to pretend scared. And my daughter was like, "Mum, I'm so glad they said cut because I was going to burst out laughing."
That's all we have time for. Thank you so much, Tracy and Kieran. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. Get watching Crossfire.